Morning, I want to read, or I want to look at the book of Hebrews again. I hope you're enjoying this. It's good teaching. It's things that we need to know. I read a statistic earlier this week, and the percentage of people in the evangelical community that are actually reading the Bible is going down. So that means that in a lot of churches, the only time anyone gets to hear anything about what the Bible is on a Sunday morning, because people are not breaking down the doors to go to Bible studies traditionally like they used to either. So the thing is, so we need to open up God's Word, and we need to know what the Word of God says. Amen? And so this morning's message is called A New Covenant, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, which we had just looked at. And so, good morning. And how many of you have ever made a deal with someone and that deal was not upheld? Okay, anyone here? You made a deal with someone and the deal wasn't not upheld. It was just like, you know, the deal was broken, the promise. How many of you have a promise was made to you and the promise was broken? How many, you know? And it happens all the time. My first job that I had, I was about 14 years old, and I worked for we lived in Montreal, and I worked for this company for the summer. My mother was the bookkeeper there, and I don't know how she allowed this to happen because it wasn't legal, and where they hired me, and minimum wage was a certain amount, and they told me that if I took less than minimum wage, they would pay me cash, and this was like a sportswear company. And so I didn't realize at the time that students didn't pay tax anyways when it was a certain amount. So I really got cheated on this. And then on top of that, again, my mother, who I love dearly, how many of you pay room and board? Okay, do you pay room and board? Do you pay room and board? Okay. When I was 14 and 15 years old with my first job, you know what my room and board was? $40 a week. $40 a week. My mother said, so, you know what? I didn't feel that this contract or this deal was being upheld. And I really felt cheated, you know? And I'm telling you this story now because I'm not over it yet, okay? Yes, I am. And this begins the topic or the subject of today's story, and it's the new covenant of God. The new covenant of God. Now, a covenant is an agreement between two parties, right? But note a significant fact. A new covenant of God is the covenant of God, not of man, women. It's not our covenant. It's God's covenant. We have to hear that. It's God's covenant to us. And we have absolutely nothing to do with the terms of this covenant. It is a covenant between God and people, but the terms are exclusively set by God. Amen? They're exclusively set by God. And in life, there's two types of covenants. Okay? We are able to welcome this covenant, walk in it, and be faithful. But there's two types of covenants where we would have negotiations. We would have negotiations. We would come to an agreement, and we would have a covenant between us. And then there's this covenant that God has. God sets the terms, and we either agree to the terms of the covenant or we disagree to the terms of the covenant. And so God is the second covenant that I just said. A covenant is God's will and testament. How many of you have ever received an inheritance? Okay? It's like a last will and testament, and it's God's last will and testament kind of. And we either accept this covenant, this last will or testament, or we reject it. Pretty simple. And it's comparable to a last will and testament. And so the only way we can ever receive this inheritance of God is to accept the terms of the covenant exactly the way they are laid out by God. And how many of you know you fought that? You fight God. Why do you fight God? You end up losing anyways, and you go back to what I'm teaching this morning, and you realize, oh, it's a no-win situation. But there's a caveat for this, and there's a little twist in the road for this. But what God this, and what God this? Listen, I didn't write the covenant. He wrote it. Stop wrestling with God. Just accept it and receive the blessing. Because Jesus Christ is the minister. He is the pastor of this new covenant. And this covenant is far superior to the old covenant according to the verses that we read, because it is founded by the perfect mediator. Remember last week I was talking and I said he is the mediator. He is the intercessor. He is the intercessor with the Father so that he intercedes for you. Right? And if he intercedes for you because of his righteousness, and when he stands before the Father and prays for intercedes for you, the Father sees you as perfect. And buddy, you know you're not perfect, do you? But the Father knows you're, thinks you're perfect. Right? So this covenant, it's awesome. And it is founded on better promises. And these better promises, I'll let them unfold this morning as we talk about. Because a lot of people in the church don't know what the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is. Okay, it's like, I'm sorry. Maybe I've never taught on this one before, but you know what? There's a lot of things that we don't know that we should know. That's what Hebrews talks about. It eliminates the weakness of the first covenant. Now, I don't get this because the first covenant was introduced by God, and yet he had to introduce a new covenant because there's weaknesses in the old covenant. So did God make a mistake? Well, of course not. But this new covenant, it's an inward power. Amen? It's an inward power. It's a spiritual power. Amen? Spiritual power. It makes the first covenant look obsolete. The new covenant is founded, like I said, by the perfect mediator. The word mediator means someone who stands between two parties and brings them together. Jesus Christ is that perfect mediator, and he presents the terms of the covenant perfectly. Amen? So that's what he's doing before the Father. He's not only interceding with us, but he's presenting constantly the terms of the covenant before Father in heaven. It's not that Father in heaven needs to be reminded of what's in the covenant, but he does this all the time because the new covenant is Jesus Christ. And so his righteousness is being presented before Father in heaven over and over and over again in a form of intercession so that he can bless you and bless your family. And when we get that, and when we walk in that, okay, we walk in a holy place, we walk in a special place, then we're open to understand what the gifts of the Spirit are. We understand, we will recognize the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so what will happen is I'm not just walking by you and you have hospitality because you invite people over to watch football or barbecues whenever you do that a lot. We bless you for that. But what happens is when we start to understand that, I walk by you and I say, wow, okay. I'm seeing and sensing the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not only that we're discerning the gifts of the Spirit, so that we would have a word of knowledge for each other, or we would have this, but we are sensing the supernatural fruit of the Spirit as well. So it can't be just like, well, Kevin's a really nice guy, you know, and he's always happy and stuff like this. It's not that. We start to sense differently. And that's why we need to walk in this new covenant of Jesus Christ, so that we are discerning the righteousness that he is presenting to the Father all the time. And when we're in that type of relationship, it becomes part of who we are as well, because that's the will of the Father, so that we would have that type of intimate relationship with him, so that we would be his hands extended and we would walk in that. Now that's exciting. That's exciting for me. And that's attainable. That is not something that we have to strive for. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm not really there this morning. I hope to be one day. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. This is totally attainable. This is right here. It's right there. It's not something in the far distance that you have to fight for, strive for, because Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator, and he is the mediator between God himself and God. He stands between God and us. And God is holy. He presents the terms of the covenant perfectly to the Father. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you have been cheated? Jesus Christ is not going to cheat you. How many of you, there's been a promise that has been broken? No promise will be broken. How many of you have ever written a contract with someone and someone has defiled that contract? It's no contract will be broken. No way, no way, no way. I was going to almost say no way, Jose. My father used to say that, no way, Jose. I remember, you know what, I'm going to focus. My father had one of those operations, what do you call it, a trig? And he used to talk with this little thing he put in his mouth, and it would sound like R2-D2. Hello, my name is Jack. And my father used to say, no way, Jose, with this little thing. And I just, anyway, so that just flashed in my mind. No way, Jose. You know. He was funny. Did I ever tell you the story about my dad? Yeah, some of you have known it. My dad learned, he had this operation, and after he had this operation, when we led him to the Lord, he had a divine revelation, and he would drive all through northern Quebec and help people who had this operation, and he met a man who also had it, who couldn't speak for 8 years, and my father taught him how to speak, and in 20 minutes, the first words he said was, he turned to his wife, this man, and he says, I love you. Okay? And what happens is, that's what the Father wants to know, wants you to know today, all of you that are here today. The Father is saying to each of you today, I love you. Okay? He's awesome. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The new covenant is founded on better promises. So what is the old covenant anyways? Well, the old covenant is part of God's law. God promised that he would accept, that he would bless and fellowship with mankind if they could keep the law. Well, how many of you know that if I was to give you a list of 10 things, and in their case, they had 600 and some odd things, how many was it? 600 and some odd laws. How many of you know that you just can't do that? How many of you know that, you know, you give me a, you know, let's say this church here was all of a sudden a church, a legalistic church, where you're not allowed to do this, 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 and 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 this. How many of you know you're not going to be able to obey all of those kind of things? Right? Gone. Me too. I'd be gone. But yet there's a lot of pastors I know that are in churches like that. They feel called to those churches. And it's a battle every single day. Be thankful we don't have that battle. But the thing is, we don't have that battle. But the battle that we have is that we don't have any obstacles to the presence of God. And yet sometimes we get lazy with the presence of God. And I don't know what's worse, being lazy with the presence of God or not obeying all the legalistic rules that we have before us. What's the difference, really? Like, you're still not in the presence of God. So don't become comfortable with the presence of God and never take it for granted. So this Old Testament, so people, they accepted the conditions and they vowed to obey the terms of God's covenant or the law. We see that in Exodus chapter 24. We also see that in Jeremiah chapter 7. But people discovered that the law was not full and complete enough. They just couldn't do it. The law said that God was holy and that they were to be holy and to live holy lives. But the law did not give them the inner power or the strength to obey God. And this had to take place. So the law did not provide the power and the energy acceptable to inherit this eternal life that was before them. And God knew it, and so the law said nothing about God's love and mercy and about his forgiveness. Man, are you glad you're forgiven? And this is where the New Testament or the New Covenant is better than the old one, because the new one is founded on much better promises. In the New Testament, a person finds glorious and wonderful promises. Let me tell you what they are. Of power and strength in the inner person, Hebrews 8 and 10. Power and strength within the inner person. Buddy, you're learning how to read an altar in a room, and you're starting to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, and that power comes within. And I'm watching you as the most senior pastor in the church, okay, in age. And I'm proud of you. Okay? And then I'm watching the people in the church, they're responding, and they're just hot for God and everything like this, and you guys are tapping into the inner power that's within us, and you're believing in the promises. Maybe you don't know that because it's not in this kind of context, but you're actually doing it, and I celebrate that, of the power and strength of the inner person because of Him who lives within us. Glorious promise, amen, of God's personal acceptance, which means life eternal. Man, they didn't know the end game. We know the end game. Don't become comfortable with that. Celebrate that every day. Every day at 10 o'clock in the morning, my thing zap on my thing. What time is it? It comes up on the thing. It says on my phone every day at 10 o'clock, it says, thank me frequently. And at 10 o'clock, it buzzes me, and my phone buzzes, and everything buzzes. I'm just buzzed out. And I stop, and I thank God. And I say, because it says, thank me frequently. Can you say that with me? Thank me frequently, and take time in the morning. Take time to thank Him frequently. God's personal acceptance means that we have life eternal, of a personal knowledge and fellowship with God. God is a mystery. I don't understand a lot of the things. I don't understand a lot of the circumstances, why they happen and everything like this. And I know that if I approach things in the flesh, I will become discouraged, I'll become disheartened and everything like this. But when I understand and I get close to Jesus, and you know, Pastor Bob, one of my first pastors, he says, Ken, read the red. Linda, read the red. Always read the red, because when you read the red, you're in the house with Jesus. And Jesus is the great mediator between God. So I could start to understand and have this fellowship with God. This is a great promise. This is, and I blow it. How many of you blown it? How many of you blow it? Okay, I blow it. And then of God's love and mercy and His forgiveness. Wow. You know what the hardest thing is sometimes? You forgiving yourself. Okay? Some of you have a problem forgiving yourself. Okay? And that's not even biblical. You have a hard time forgiving yourself. But in this new covenant, because of our mediator, God forgets. Okay? And if He forgets, it's time for you to move on. Okay? We pray for people, but it gets to the point sometimes where, honestly, there's only so much a pastor or a pastor's counsel or something can do, right? It gets to the point sometime where we really need to trust in God, you know, and we need to move on. We need to move on. The new covenant eliminates the weaknesses of the first covenant. So from this time on, God is speaking. So in the scriptures, if you're looking at the scriptures right now, there's a switch that takes place. It's not the writer so much of the writer is still writing it. But right now in the scriptures, it's God speaking. And God is the spokesperson pointing out the weaknesses of the first covenant. So Jeremiah 31 is quoted. He says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Now this is God speaking, okay, with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Okay? Internal power. All of a sudden, collectively, that when we accept the new covenant, all of a sudden now what happens is what Lord is depositing into our minds and into our hearts, and it says, and they will be my people. We have to be his people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. No more. Hallelujah. Who does this? Who does this? Not even my mother. There were times even my mother held a grudge against me. Who does this except our God? The Old Testament could reveal sin, but it couldn't remove it. Right? And God knew this, and this is what God is saying. And the point is here, the new covenant had been faultless. There had been no need. If there wasn't any need for the new covenant, there wouldn't be a new covenant. The new covenant is an inward power. Amen? A spiritual power within the person. The new covenant gives wonderful powers. A renewed mind. A renewed heart. When a person approaches God through the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, God does wonderful things. Do you expect this relationship with God to produce wonderful things? Or is it an obligation that, well, I better come to church on Sunday because the pastors are going to feel really depressed because most people are away, so at least by me coming there, I will add less to their depression. He does a wonderful thing within us. He does a wonderful thing within us. My goodness, I saw you, girl, on worshiping on Friday night. He was doing a wonderful thing within you. I said to you, we're going to start doing testimonies on Sundays, you know? I said, well, maybe you can give your testimony. You said, well, I don't have anything to testify. Well, he's done a wonderful thing within you on Friday night. Well, that's now part of your testimony. So start to gather those things and start to be thankful. And if you don't think that you have a testimony, you have a testimony. You have a testimony. Start to gather it. It doesn't mean that your life had to be in the dirt and you had to get her to rehab 12 times before all of a sudden you saw a revelation on the road to Damascus and you couldn't speak or you were blind for 3 days and stuff like this. If you sense that he is drawing you to his presence, you have a testimony.
That's right.
Because you are walking in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. A new heart. And mind means that we will be accepted by God. A new heart, a new mind and heart means that we have the desire to follow and obey him. How many times do you go through life where you honestly do not feel that you want to obey God? Okay? But when we're in touch with the new covenant, he gives us the desire to follow and to obey him. So it's not because there was a law that we had to attain, but he gives us the desire to live a holy life. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. It's like when I go into a place, I say, God, show me where you are at work so I could join you. As opposed to saying, God, this is what I'm going to do. Please bless me. Okay, it takes the pressure off of you. A new heart and mind stirs us to love God because he has renewed our minds. This means that we are accepted by God. This means that we could commune with God. This means that we can pray and share with God to meet our needs, to call upon his mercy, upon his grace, the power to know God personally and to have open access to his presence. So Ty said on Friday night, he says, he's pretty bold. He made a declaration. He says, the presence of God is so here. And he was right. to know God personally and to have open access to His presence. Did you know that His presence is here? Did you know that? You may not be here, but His presence is here. You know, to leave here and say, well, I don't really feel the presence of God there today. Well, maybe you need to get closer to the Lord. Because He promises His presence all the time. And every person can now approach God through Jesus Christ. You are accepted by Him. Amen? Amen? Amen. The new covenant makes the first one obsolete, the Bible says. You must always remember this. The new covenant is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ never destroyed the law. So we're not saying that it's not important, the old law. He came to fulfill it. He did not destroy it. Let's not get out of balance here and say, well, we're New Testament there. That's Old Testament. We don't have to. Okay, it's all Scripture. Exactly. We look to Jesus Christ and we follow Him. So in conclusion, this morning, in the new covenant, a person finds wonderful promises. Amen? Amen. Do you sense the need for a promise this morning? Close your eyes with me a second. Do you sense the need for the promise of power and strength in your inner person this morning? Anyone here? Do you just sense that need for His power and your strength in your inner person this morning? Anyone? Show me your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ask Him for it. Just take a second where you are and just ask Him for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's not speed this up. If you put up your hand this morning and you just sense that you're calling upon His glorious promises because you need the promise of power and strength in your inner person, ask Him. Maybe you need to now quietly where you are just ask for forgiveness for ignoring Him and re-invite Him back into your space, into your heart, into your mind. Lord, take my mind, take my heart, bring me into the throne room of the Father. Thank Jesus for the new covenant. He is the covenant. Thank the mediator that He stands before the Father all the time and He intercedes for you this morning. Just thank Him this morning. Amen. 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 Maybe you sense the need for the power of God's personal acceptance, which means eternal life. Put up your hands if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life here this morning. Okay? If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, put up your hand this morning. Okay? Okay, now put your hands down. How many of you this morning have become kind of numb to that? Where it's like, yeah, I know it. But that needs to be renewed so that there's an awe factor to it. Show me your hands. That's you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. See, God's doing some surgery here in your lives, in your hearts this morning. That's why I'm not moving along too quick here. This is important, folks. Okay? This is important. This is not just about a meeting. You put up your hand because you're feeling the emotion of the moment. This is eternity. How many of you here have a sense for the need of a personal knowledge and fellowship and intimacy with God that is maybe missing? Anyone? Thank you again. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your hands, your honest hands. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just draw these people together, Lord, to you. Let's just together in the Spirit right now go into the throne room with Jesus Christ and just let him give you a little taste of what it was like as he stands before the Father, sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes. Give us a little glimpse of what that looks like, Lord. Give us a little glimpse of what that looks like, Lord. Do you sense the need for the promise of God's love and mercy and his forgiveness? Anyone? Anyone here? You just sense the need for his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your hands. God is good. Amen. Laura, worship team, would you come? And could I ask you to do something this morning, please? Not many of us here. Could you just come on up to the front here for a second? Take a few minutes and close and just give all that to the Lord this morning. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on, girls. It's okay. We will not bite you. Come on up here a second. Come on, BJ. Come on, Kev.